You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 544. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me, albeit on opposite sides of the country right now, as I have ventured out to Atlantic City for CFSC 145, and Cole Coffee is holding it down in Las Vegas. Man, I gotta say, I'm doing this one a little different, Cole Coffee. Doing this one a little different. I got the wife and kid out here with me in Atlantic City, man. It's Labor Day weekend on the boardwalk. It's like summer winding down in the Jersey Shore. And I brought my wife and kid out to experience a little bit of this New Jersey energy out here at a CFFC 145.
That's nice, man. You got to get it in before the end of the year. You know, get a little, you know, traveling with the family is always good. And you know, I think school started back up, so he's probably had a rough few days of school already, and he needed a break already.
So this is great. This is great. Because they had made it out here one time before. But obviously, I come out to Atlantic City a lot for CFFC, and they'd come out one time before, but it was like wintertime. And so it's a little bit – it's a different energy. You know what I mean? Because it's cold. It's chilly. And like, the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino here in Atlantic City is awesome, man. And, like, the Edis Arena where we do the shows, it's always a good vibe. I've mentioned before, it's got that history and that it hosted those early Zuffa-era UFC events. You know what I mean? So it's cool, but it's got a great vibe. It's fun. But there's just a different vibe. To anybody that's from the East Coast or that's been to the East Coast, it's just a different vibe when it's summertime. And so I keep saying, like, I want to bring them out. I want to bring them out. I want to bring them out. And finally, I was just like, you know what? I need to make it happen. My son now is a teenager, so he's kind of old enough to enjoy it. He really, when we went to Cancun early this summer, like, enjoyed the beach so much. Obviously, it's a little bit different, the beach in Atlantic City, than the beach in Cancun. But still, you know, he liked being out on the water. So anyway, I finally said, you know what? I got to do it. Like, you know what? This is the last summer show of the year for us in Atlantic City. Like, let's make this happen. So made the plans. Be honest, when I started making the plans, I didn't really pay attention to the day he was starting school, which was, I don't, in my head, like, I think when we were kids, we always, like, started, like, after Labor Day. And, I mean, it's not like this is new for my son, but I just didn't put two and two together. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. He's done, like, 2 weeks of school right now. And and in his third week of school, we pulled him out. Now, they took I took the red eye Tuesday night. They took the red eye Wednesday night. So I came in here and got one day of work done. And then they flew in a day after me. So he did go to school Wednesday, but he's taking today and Friday off. And then I think just in my head, because, like, the dates are August, I kind of forgot this was Labor Day weekend. So he's also got Monday off of next week, and his school is taking, like, an in-service day on Tuesday. So in his,
oh my goodness,
in his third week of school this year, he's got a 6-day weekend. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't, I, so I'm either a really cool parent or a really irresponsible parent, one of the two. But I'll tell you what, he's loving it. They literally just took the red eye in this morning. I went and picked him up from Philly, came back, took a quick nap because they were you know, they were tired from taking the overnight flight. But then immediately took them to they were hungry for breakfast, took them to White House Subs, which, if you know anything about this area, legendary sub brand. I didn't know they actually do breakfast sandwiches. I don't ever quite get up that early when I'm here, it seems, but got a little breakfast sandwich at White House Sub, and then took them to the Showboat just a couple properties down and drove some go-karts. And then right now, as you and I sit here, they're chilling out on the beach on the boardwalk, enjoying a couple little sunshine. It's 75 and sunny, and yeah, they're enjoying it. So it's fun. A lot of work to be done, but I got to be honest, man. The I think the older I get, the more I realize I want my family to be with me too. You know what I mean? It kind of changes the vibe a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. And it's nice that you're getting the fall sort of feel out there, yeah. You know, the last little bit of summer, because I know it's like in the 70s. We're still here, very nice. I got some steps in this morning, but it's 90 here in Vegas, so it's cooling down, but it's still warm.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, that's nice to I like fall, you know. I mean, there's something about, you know, being able to put, like, pullovers on, your jeans, you know, stuff like that. We're getting there eventually here in another couple months or so.
football weather, as they say. I know you're looking forward to this weekend, right? Ohio State and Texas kicking off the college football season.
Yeah, boy, big one. I cannot wait for that one. Probably going to either watch it at the house, or I'll go over to the little Buckeye bar next door. And if everything's going well, I'll stay there and I'll cheer and whatever. And if they start getting their shit handed to them, then I'll usually I change it up. I get very superstitious, and then I'll go back home. You know, and see if I can rally the troops here from afar.
Oh, yeah. So you don't...
Yeah, no, it's a big one. It's a big, big, big event.
I thought you were going to say that if it was going downhill, you would leave just because you'd be, like, frustrated and you don't want to be in public and you don't want to, like, have to deal with people because you're frustrated. You're saying you would leave and relocate because your relocation would clearly be what the team needed to change the direction of the spirits surrounding the squad.
Clearly, you don't understand the power my effort puts into things. I'm pretty much sure that my drinking with the Golden Knights got them the Stanley Cup. So, you know, when I do these little things, you know, it does great things. So, yeah, we'll see what we can do. But, yeah, no, I'm as superstitious and weird as you can about some of that stuff when I'm finally able to watch. But I am super excited that can actually watch it. Most times, you know, big games are, you know, I'm usually doing a separate laptop to the side, you know, to do it or whatever. So to actually be able to go to the sports bar and watch it, or to watch it on a proper TV, is always amazing. I love it. So yeah, but yeah, I'm excited about this one. It's a big one. It's a big one to start. But what's the good thing is that regardless for which team, you know, it's so early in the season, whoever loses has plenty of time to recover.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping it's them and not us, but they are a tough team, and you always have questions going into the beginning of the season. But yeah, it's so early on, you know, it's good. Whoever can, you know, recover. Just like last year wasn't the greatest start for us, but then we recovered. And we all saw how that ended. So, as in my backdrop, which no one else can see except for John, where we're taping this, you can see my Buckeyes flag.
I see it proudly being waved there. I know this will be an important one for you. All right. Well, listen. Knowing how much impact that your location and where you choose to sit and where you are has on sporting events, I guess we need to dial in where you were sitting during Tuesday night's Contender Series event, right? Because that was a hell of a night, man. After what was a slow start to Dana White's Contender Series, a very odd opening episode that I think everybody kind of walked away feeling not so great about, it has been two straight weeks. And, man, this one I was going to be there actually on Tuesday night, but I had some late work pop up that I just had to cancel last minute because I was flying out that night. There was just too much going on. But I definitely watched that one at home. And, man, I mean, you guys got some finishes galore. So wherever you were sitting, need to make sure you're sitting there every week because your vibes brought the finishes.
I'm not sure if you're going to appreciate that because I was sitting in my normal seat, and then one of the journalists next to me wanted to bring his Brazilian friend out who was very loud and was cheering for the fighters, which got me upset, but that's another story.
Ooh, that's not good.
So I slid over into your seat there, John, so I appreciate that. So now I will be sitting in your seat every weekend to make sure that I have great seats, and I'm glad that you gave me that idea. I look forward to that.
Wow. That one backfired. That was
Well, I will tell you, Dana didn't come back, but I wanted to ask him, you know, it's funny you get caught up in how many great events that we see in there, but you know, one of the things I wanted to ask him was about, it felt like that was probably one of the best performing Dana White Contender Series of all times in terms of like the talent shown and then the finishes. I was like, "Bro, I can't ever remember four first round finishes ever in an episode before."
Yeah.
you know. And then, you know, even the last fight was decent too. I mean, it was a good night of fights. It was incredible. I was like, dude, this might be one of the best contender series ever. But of course, Dana ghosted us. I think he didn't want me to ask my follow up questions about Johnny Walker in Shanghai and just get his thoughts on stuff. So, no, I think it was kind of a slim pickings in the media room. So I think he decided it was fine to skip.
So
the post fight.
All right, I do want to talk about the fighters, but I did want to ask you about that, right? Because last week he didn't come in, and we were told basically he needed to bounce as quickly as possible to get to Paris, which made sense, right? You know, I mean, he's got meetings he's got to get to. There's a massive time difference. I mean, I always joke a little bit when he doesn't show up, and they're like, oh, he has to leave right away. I'm like, oh, is the departure time of his commercial jet coming up soon? Like, I think, yeah. I think the plane leaves when he's ready to leave, but I am sensitive to the fact that he's got a lot of schedules and a lot of meetings, and normally on those trips, man, the UFCs, he's got to see this company and this person, and that. You know, there's a lot going on, so I do get it. So even though I may laugh a little bit, it's like, bro, I think the plane will wait for you. Like, I think you'll be all right. I do get it. But then this week he didn't come back either, and I did wonder if you guys in the press room, because I see, as much as everybody loves Contender Series, as you know, everybody's there. Everybody there that's working is looking for views, right? I mean, that's how everybody gets paid. And you know, as a journalist or as a content provider or as a whoever you are, that Dana is going to get you those more views than these fighters are going to. As much as fans as we love it, these fighters are mostly, you know, unknown to the casual fan. So a Dana White scrum at least has the possibility of getting more views. So I did wonder, I don't know, was there a little rumbling? Were some people a little grinding
teeth? Well, I mean, there was a couple people that did, but they were younger, newer people anyways, but they were hoping to make the most of it because one of the new journalists that's there, he's only in town for a couple more weeks or whatever, and he was hoping to get it. So he's been there for 2 weeks in a row and hasn't seen Dana, you know. So I know some of those guys were looking forward to it. But besides that, the bigger people that would have probably griped about it weren't really there. So no, it wasn't too bad. If anything, I think they were probably more like, oh man, we're gonna have to ask him some stuff, you know. So they were probably glad that he didn't, you know, come back. So you never know.
I just wonder like how much it would impact media coverage if he decides he just doesn't want to come back there anymore, which he doesn't owe anybody. But I mean, if he decides I'm not doing scrums anymore, I would think a lot of the media would just stop showing up, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, outside of those of us that are just absolutely adore watching the event, you know, I mean, I got to do some a not quite dirt update and got to take pictures of a bathroom. You know, I would have done that regardless of whether Dana was there or not.
You know, that is, but hey, hold on, finish your point on that. But I do want to hear about it. Looked like significant portions of the Apex are opening up now.
Yeah, the concessions, and I want to ask Dana when they're going to fire it up. They didn't open up the concessions, but you could finally use the new restrooms. So you're walking through the hallway. They still had part of the hallway, one of the entrances into what would be the restroom concession area, still roped off because you just didn't need it. But they did have a couple portions open, so you could actually see it. But yeah, I mean, as for when they're going to finally fire up the concessions, I'm not sure when that date is going to be. I was hoping to ask Dana about that. But yeah, you could walk in, and now the new restrooms are available. They have a one family like room, family style room or whatever, where, you know, whatever. And then they had the men's and the women. And it was, I mean, as you can imagine, I mean, nice, big, big stalls.
And to anybody that may be listening to this that hasn't heard a lot of our updates, it may sound silly. You're talking about a bathroom. I will say this. Number one, there was one bathroom with one stall and one urinal, right? Or two stalls and a urinal. Yeah, two stalls and a urinal for everybody in there, male-wise, which you can imagine the population is generally male. So by the end of the night, it wasn't necessarily the greatest bathroom in the world, and there was always like lines and stuff like that. But that's beside the point. The bigger point is, this has been the reason that the Apex has not been able to hold more people in it, right? And I know you and 100%. I are probably the least critical of people of the Apex because we actually enjoy it and appreciate it. Again, I'll always throw out the caveat that we both live very, very, very close to the Apex. And I think that's one reason that we really enjoy it. But I we've always enjoyed it for other reasons as well. But it will not hurt one bit to get some more people in there. You know what I mean? If you can get 700-800 people in there, that'll change the dynamics and the feel of everything in there. And I hope at that point that all the naysayers about the Apex can be settled. And yes, it's not 17,000, but if it's still, you know, got a few hundred in there and it brings that energy level up, hopefully that gives people what they feel like they've been missing on the broadcast. So it may seem like a silly update, but there is steady progress being made, and this reality is getting closer.
Yeah, I mean, it was neat just to kind of finally see it, because the last times that we went there, you know, they had the drapes still drawn last time, and I took a peek in there. I was like, oh, wow, there's the concessions, and oh, okay, that's the hallway that leads to whatever. And then this time you actually could walk into it. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see by the end of this season if the concessions are open and what that does and how people are able to interact. And maybe, you know, I figured a Contender Series would be a great time to get it like a dry run for before fight night at the Apex, you know, so they make sure that the equipment's working. You know, it's like a soft open, I would think, at a restaurant, you know, using like a Contender Series. So it'd be interesting to see what that happens. But yeah, I mean, then I think it really starts to feel like a venue. You know what I mean? It's still always going to feel intimate, and it's always going to feel like you're getting sort of like a private showing, but it will definitely ramp up the fact that people are able to have snacks, and they're able to stay in their seats till the end, and they can use the restroom, and they can go back and forth, and then people are going to tend to be louder, I think. And then we're going to start getting some of that atmosphere that I think we miss at a lot of the venue, the fights that happen there now. But it's just neat. It's neat to see the progress. I mean, it's been a long time coming. It's funny because my phone just the other day sent me one of those like, hey, remember this day? And it was like a year or so ago, and it was still a big, huge pile of dirt sitting in front of the Apex. It might have been more than a year ago. And I was just like, that's so funny that my phone chose to show me that when they opened up the new section on the inside where you could actually see it. But yeah, it's been quite a process to see where it is now, and you know, as somebody that's on the outside, which never really gets to enjoy a lot of that, even when it's open, most nights I'm in the media room. It's not like I'm gonna get to enjoy the concession stands, but seeing it and seeing the growth of what the Apex becoming and what these fight nights have went from what they were at what point to almost what they're about to be is kind of neat to see. And I can see where the fans are going to love it, and they're going to eat it up. And then you're going to have some people that are going to say, yeah, the events at the T-Mobile where you're in there with 18,000 people is wild and crazy. But man, have you ever been to an Apex night, man? It's a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a whole new experience for people in there, and one that's going to be unique to that intimate sort of surrounding, because right now I think people enjoy being there. They understand it feels like they're, you know, getting a private show, but it's just not quite still a event feel, because you don't have half the luxuries that you get when you go out to a venue to see a fight.
100%. And the other thing too is you need the casual fan to have access to this, right? The ones that's going to get up a lot, because let's be honest, a lot of the people that are in there are invited guests, VIPs, you know, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to carry themselves in a certain way, right? They're gonna know that they're somebody's guest in there, so they're not going to be on their feet going crazy and cheering, or they're going to have vested interest in one or two particular fighters on the card because they're part of the camp or whatever. And, like, yes, they're cheering for those guys, but they're not just cheering the whole night long. And I mean, gosh, I don't know if we've ever heard anybody boo inside the Apex, right? Because, again, very, very small crowd. Maybe we've heard some, like, families booing somebody, the opponent or something. I don't know. But you know what I mean? You don't have, like, the guy that everybody – so, I mean, you got to get some casual fans in there. And the reality is every time I see somebody on social media going, when is the Apex going away? Brother, you better lose that question. If it really impacts you and you really hate it, what you should be looking for is suggestions of how to make it better. Because the idea of, like, well, they should just get rid of these Apex shows, that ain't happening. I mean, I know they're going to go on the road more, but there's always going to be a need for the Apex. So if you aren't a fan of it and you want to just at least see some changes, just try to maybe offer some advice as to what you'd like to see to make it better, because they're definitely not going away. Did want to ask you about the fighters themselves. Manuel Sosa, a CFFC vet, one that we let go to go to the PFL. His PFL situation, that was kind of when they were figuring out the Challenger Series and working things out, and it didn't work out real well. PFL's got some nice momentum right now. I don't think they can completely avoid the old criticisms, but I do feel like they are doing good things right now. So I will say, if you've been a longtime critic of the PFL, understandable, but make sure that when you continue to discuss them that you're at least assessing what they're doing now, because I think they are doing a lot of better things at the moment. But I was happy to see him get this opportunity, because that dude is a wrecking machine. And Christian Perez, by the way, dude, like that dude belongs in the UFC too, man. So I hope they're giving him a contract as well or putting him on a short notice. So that was a great fight, and I had seen the greatness in Manuel Sosa when we saw him in the CFFC, so I was happy for him. The one that I'm really curious about, and I want to get your thoughts, Dante Johnson, man, clearly dangerous. Awesome on the mic, awesome energy, awesome enthusiasm, awesome attitude. And I know you were talking to him, and you know, he kind of said, like, I mean, I think he told you, I'll go all the way down. I mean, he's clearly not a heavyweight. We know that. I don't even think clearly a light heavyweight, to be honest with you.
No. I know. I think middleweight is where. Yeah, but yeah, he was saying he could get down to welterweight. I was like, bro, you are so jacked.
That's the one.
But, I mean, you got to think about it, though. 206. 209.
Right.
We've seen fighters cut 30 pounds all the time, but he is a jacked individual that I don't think he can make that without losing muscle, you know, and I don't think he wants to do that. So I think middleweight, much more of a chance for a long-term, you know, sort of thing, or, you know, light heavyweight in a pinch. But, I mean, if he's able to kind of do the things, I just think the size is going to be an issue. It's funny. I asked him fight night, and he said he was 5'11". Or 5'10", he's like 5'8".
I was going to say, there's no way.
He looked so ridiculously short compared to his opponent. But, yeah, it's funny because I had to go back. I checked after the fact. I was like, bro told me he's 5'10". Because I asked, I was like, so how tall are you? And he's like, let's just say 5'10". I was like, yeah, okay. I was like, good to know.
Hey, but if he's
a short king. He's a short king.
Look, if he can make welterweight, I mean, I agree with you though. I don't see how it would be humanly possible without like significant training changes or whatever. But
yeah,
but as long as because again, he's clearly not a heavyweight. But even for him to say settle in and I'll try light heavyweight, dude, there's just some, and he's dangerous. But there's some monsters at that division. So I'd like to see middleweight. I think is a spot for him.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, I loved his enthusiasm. I mean, he was – I thought it was great on the mic. I mean, I you know, he had great energy coming in. He was very candid, very open. He seems to have a great team. But, yeah, no, I mean, I think – I loved his fight style. I mean, I was hearing the crowd, you know, sort of talk him up. We don't back up. We don't back up. And the dude certainly didn't, man. He stood his ground and he threw bombs, man. And then – you know, he looked like he had power, and then we saw the power. So, you know, there's definitely I was very, very and he started the night off great. I mean, he kind of set the tone.
Yeah,
I think for what the rest of the night kind of lived up to. But yeah, it was incredible, man. I was thoroughly amused by what we saw from him. And then afterwards in the post, I was like, dude, that was awesome. I was like, he's got all the ingredients to do some really good things, I think.
I think so, too. That's the star power stood out to me for sure. It's just a matter of finding out where the weight class is. Like I said, Manuel Sosa, I have no doubt, has a future. I like to see Christian Perez there as well. But anyway, great night Tuesday. Looking forward to being back there next Tuesday and for the rest of the season. I don't think I'll need to miss any more of the rest of the season. Although I say that a lot, and my schedule in my life has changed so much dramatically over the last few months, but hopefully I can be at all of them because I enjoy being there. No UFC to break down this weekend. I know we're both going to enjoy, some time off from the UFC. I've still got CFFC 145. Myself and Dean Thomas, he will be in town, I believe, tomorrow night. Actually looking forward to it. If anybody happens to be in the Atlantic City area, because it is the last kind of summer event and the weather's gorgeous, we're actually going to do ceremonial weigh-ins out on the boardwalk Friday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. So that'll be awesome to have the stage set up out there and have the foot traffic walking by on the boardwalk and get those ceremonial weigh-ins done. So that'll be great. Then Saturday night, myself and Dean Thomas on the mic. Morgan Wirth is actually going to be here as well as a sideline reporter. Not really a sideline reporter. That's kind of what the position is called. There is no sideline in mixed martial arts. She will be the reporter, and she does a great job, so looking forward to working with her again. Good card for us. I'm telling you, it was originally supposed to be Kyle Daukaus in the main event defending his middleweight title, but obviously see him got that call up to Shanghai and back to the UFC. And looking fantastic, cashing that $50,000 bonus. So happy for Kyle Daukaus. Obviously, that's what we're doing here at CFFC is trying to get people into the UFC or back into the UFC, and he did that. But it does mean that New Jersey native Richie Lewis is getting to headline in Atlantic City in his home state for the first time in his pro fighting career against Benny Orozco, who's making his way in from California and really has just had a phenomenal attitude coming into this about realizing what a great opportunity he has. You know, he feels like, yes, I know Richie Lewis is the hometown guy, but here's my chance to really come in and play spoiler and steal all that spotlight, especially being in the main event on Fight Pass, you know, just recognizing this is right now the biggest fight in my career. So that's a great lightweight main event, three rounds there. Co-main event, Nick Galante and Ty Guerter. Nick Galante, former next-gen champ, has fought his entire amateur and professional career underneath the CFFC banner. He's been involved in CFFC BJJ as well against Ty Guerter, the Extreme Couture product and Hawaii native that's coming in. Heavy hands, again, looking to play spoiler. And some big fights all the way on. Burserman Jumagul's got a lot of hype building around him. The Kyrgyzstani, just 21 years old, 6'4". He's facing Joshua Sierra, who's on a two-fight win streak himself with a couple of quick wins, 2-1 early in his career out of MMA Masters. So that should be great. That's kind of our featured matchups there. And I want to give a shout-out to the UFC, man. They've done a great job of actually featuring some of our athletes as well. They've had Carly Joe Thomas featured, who's facing Annabelle Kelly, undefeated. Carly Joe Thomas had an incredible, incredible professional debut, 2.5 minutes. Fights angry, fights with a little chip on her shoulder, which I like. Aggressive. She was going out there striking, got a beautiful submission win. And she's back against Annabelle Kelly, who's out of Las Vegas training at Syndicate MMA. And Annabelle's 3-0. So for Carly Joe Thomas in just her second fight, you know, to take on a 3-0 and to have no issue with it whatsoever, man, I thought was fantastic. So that's great. Flyweight between Ben Cole and Oscar Hirado could have some title implications there. But I want to point out to the prelims. The prelims, obviously, we always point to UFC Fight Pass. We want to watch the main card. If you want to check out the prelims, onlyfans.com/CFFCMMA. You can sign up directly there. But I want to point out this featured prelim. A lot of everybody since I've gotten to New Jersey is so fired up for this. Jeremiah Delgado, 20 years old, undefeated as an amateur, all finishes, and like legit everybody that trains with them will stop and tell. He's one of those guys that everybody that trains with them will literally just stop and be like, bro, you don't understand. You don't understand. This kid at 20 years old is the future. Like, this is the guy. Everybody universally sings his praises, and he's making his pro debut. And he's facing a guy named Tyler Berger, who at first look, you might just say, okay, Tyler Berger, 1-0 from Oregon. Great. Great to hear. Dude was a three-time All-American at Nebraska Wrestling, represented the U.S. team. An absolute stud. So for Jeremiah Delgado at 20 years old to be able to say, I'll make my pro debut against this guy, Tyler Berger, like I said, a three-time All-American, 1-0 as a mixed martial artist, an absolute stud. I'm loving this matchup on paper. So hopefully people will check that out. Like I said, you can sign up at onlyfans.com/CFFCMMA.
There's the excuse you needed to get on OnlyFans.
I mean, you know, I will say, and I said before, like some people, you know, they're like, oh, I don't want to sign up to OnlyFans. I will say OnlyFans does a good job of making sure, like in fact, and I had kind of been bad about this and realizing how bad it is. I need to not say just OnlyFans. I need to say OnlyFans.com/CFFCMMA. Because what OnlyFans does, and I think, I mean, I know they do this on purpose, is like, you can't even really search for something in there. Like, you can't just Google something random and, or not Google, you wouldn't be Googling inside of OnlyFans. But their search is set up so that you get exactly what you want, right? So, I know, I realize we need to do a better job of saying that, because if you just go to OnlyFans.com and try to find our content, it might be a little bit hard. But if you type OnlyFans.com/CFFCMMA and you sign up right there, and that's all you ever see, like anytime you log into OnlyFans, that's all you'll see. You'll just get our content. Like, you don't, it's not like they come in with, hey, here's my suggestions of, you know, the other content. Now, me being John Morgan, I'm like, bro, search away, you know, get all the OnlyFans content you want, baby. It's 2025. We ain't judging over here. You know what I'm saying? You sign up for the sports. You sign up for whatever else you want. This is a judgment-free zone. There's a reason I call Las Vegas home. You know what I'm saying? Because there, nobody looks at you twice. You do what you want to do. But if you're on the more conservative side and you say, well, I don't want to do that, Well, you could do that. Now, I will say as well, recently in the last couple of events, and we'll do it moving forward, we will put up the prelims on the growing CFFC MMA YouTube channel as well after the fact, but we do stream exclusive live on OnlyFans.com/CFFCMMA. But yes, should you need an excuse, and then just say it was CFFC. That's the fault. So, great card on Saturday night. I hope everybody will tune into that. Other than that, like you said, no UFC event. But there's a hell of a lot of combat sports going on this weekend, right? I mean, you've got the Dirty Boxing event, which, yeah, you know, has a couple intriguing matchups there. Some fun ones and some ones that scare us a little bit, right? Like Jairzinho Rozenstruik, Rakeem Cleveland in the main event. Fantastic. Tony Ferguson versus Salt Poppy scares me a little bit. Tony Ferguson. I love me some Tony Ferguson. And I can't see him down by a guy named Salt Poppy, bro. And that's no disrespect to Salt Poppy. I don't know Salt Poppy. I don't know anything about Salt Poppy. But I just can't have Tony Ferguson losing to a guy named Salt Poppy.
I know it's a little jarring, and it could actually happen. It's more than likely going to happen, actually.
The Salt Poppy. From what I don't watch a ton of the influencer boxing, the crossover boxing, whatever you like to call it. But from what I understand, other than if you consider Jake Paul that at this point, I mean, I guess Jake Paul was probably one of the originals, but I think at this point, Jake Paul shouldn't really be considered that. He's moved well beyond that. Now, some of the matchups he's talking about, I don't know, it's a little bit crazy. But from what I understand, the ones that you still kind of consider just the influencer type crossover, Salt Poppy is actually one of the better ones of them, or has become one of the better ones.
He's supposed to be like legit, so be interesting to see. But that's going to be a hard one. That's going to be one. I don't think I'm going to be watching them. That's going to be one I'll just pay attention to, like the results or whatever. But there are some interesting ones, just because some of the players that are fighting are just so beloved, like Darren Till and Luke Rockhold. I mean, like, how can you not be into that one? But as for like the Dirty Boxing and some of the other ones, it's going to be interesting. But there's definitely some things to get your fix on. There's only one thing I'm mainly going to be focusing on, and that's on Saturday, and that's that Buckeyes game. But everything outside of that is just gravy. I mean, if my day starts off good, it's an early game, which is unfortunate that, you know, games in the shoe at night are just beautiful things. But to start that game off early, I'm hoping my day starts off good. If not, I will be drunk by the time that anybody's fighting later on in the day. I might be drunk regardless. I guess if it goes well, I'll be drunk, and if it goes bad, I'll be drunk. So I suppose I'll just be drunk on Saturday.
That's your prerogative right there, man. I will say, like you said, some interesting names in Dirty Boxing. I did want to throw out, I did think that was a savvy pickup of them to get Brian Battle. Obviously, you know, his kind of name's in the news, and people have been focused on him, so why not bring somebody in? I will say, it does look a little bit weird that you made the weight you were supposed to make in the UFC, and I'm not picking on Brian Battle. I like Brian Battle, man. That's just not a great look. If you were trying to get back into the UFC, maybe you don't care. I don't know. Maybe it's a better look that you did make weight right away and you show them, I can make this weight, but I don't know. It feels like kind of a little salt in the wound or a little FU or something. Like, I didn't make weight last week, but I can make this week here for Dirty Boxing. I don't know. I get why you'd want to do it, but I feel like it's kind of a bad look as well. So I don't know. We'll see what happens to him. I hope he makes his way back, man. He's a dangerous guy, and it's a shame. I mean, his record was great in the UFC, so it's a shame that, you know, weight cutting was what got you out of there. So
he had some great moments, that's for sure.
He did.
Some great moments and some great fights. But, it is what it is. But, you know, he's still working. He's still doing his thing. But, I mean,
he's still getting paid. He deserves
a gun. We've seen guys leave and get to come back. You know, it's just a matter of, how that relationship ended. You know, were they just done with him? And hopefully with time. Time heals everything, they say. So,
that's it. Saturday night also, I know it won't appeal necessarily to the broader audience, but I will say, obviously I'll be working on the mic, but I am interested in the Real American Freestyle that's happening. Bo Nickel is going to be wrestling. Wyatt Hendrickson is on there. Kennedy Blades is on there. Lance Palmer is on there. Jason Nolf is on there. Kyle Dake versus Dean Hamity. Darian Caldwell is on there, so really interesting. This, of course, is the wrestling concept. Izzy Martinez is involved with it. The late Hulk Hogan was involved with it. I know a lot of people worried, like, how would this go on? I think we talked about that briefly. You know, he was more of a front man, I think, and just a PR contact and really the nuts and bolts. So, you know, no concern there. But it is interesting to see. Again, I'll preface it by always saying, you know, I was, you know, always aware of the wrestling community, but never necessarily, you know, dove into it. But in the work with CFSC Match Day, it really made me gain a lot of appreciation for the wrestling community and the competitions themselves. So loving to see that. And then, of course, in Las Vegas, Craig Jones Invitational 2. And I understand that perhaps you might be able to spend a couple hours over there watching some professional grappling at the Thomas and Mack Center.
So on Sunday, they offered Saturday, but I was like, there's some things happen on Saturday. Just can't do that Saturday. But and as for what it's going to be, you know, I've been told everything that you know, I can shoot the walkouts to a little bit of behind the scenes. I think there's only like 4 credentialed media or something for it. So it'd be interesting. So then at that point, I was like, okay, now I feel guilt tripped that I have to at least make a shot over there. I wouldn't mind even just going and attending it, and that might be what it is, you know. But I did let our team know that I'll be there to get, you know, what should hopefully be an interview or whatever. I'm hoping we're going to get both guys regardless of Craig and Chael. So should be interesting, but I don't know much else about who's the guys on the card. I know it's Black Zillions versus Australians, I think is what it was, or was it New Zealanders?
Well, the format and the teams and all those things have taken some changes. It's been a little bit of a rockier road, I think, for this. I think in the Craig Jones Invitational 1, I felt like there was just absolutely nothing but momentum building, right? Like, I feel like Craig Jones, obviously Craig Jones is a master marketer, literally gives zero fucks whatsoever about what he says and what he does. And that freedom, I think, allows him to be an incredible promoter. And obviously, you know, he's trying to grow the sport. And the fact that he got a couple guys paid $1 million each is a big deal. And he made that build up a lot of fun to the first one. I feel like this one's been a little bit more difficult. Obviously, that Gable Stevenson pull out, the injury. We'll take him at his word. It's an injury, you know, that happened there, so he could go make his mixed martial arts debut. And then obviously, you know, there's been the whole UFC BJJ launch, which has limited some of the athletes that can compete. And so, I don't know. I feel like this the build up to this one hasn't been quite as streamlined and fun and just straight rise, but it's still a big event, and he's still, you know, bringing eyeballs to the sport. I will say I've been busy. I did see. Did it just come out today? I think Demetrius Johnson hosted a debate with him and Mikey Musumeci and Craig Jones.
I did not see that.
I want to see it because I think, you know, obviously Mikey Musumeci is representing UFC BJJ. Craig Jones Invitational is kind of, I wouldn't say at war, but at odds. And, you know, they were talking about Craig Jones being there, and then he wasn't. And maybe the deal would be on Fight Pass. Maybe it wouldn't. So, I don't know. I'm anxious to see that. I might not be able to watch it this week with everything I got going on here, but I'm anxious to see that. But it's still a big event. And, I'm a fan of professional grappling as well, and I like what Craig brings to the table. He just – the fact that he – can just get eyeballs because he's wild out there. You know what I mean? And I think that's needed. People need some characters in any kind of combat sport. So,
I mean, it certainly didn't help that, with Gable Stevenson dropping out and there being like weirdness about the whole, you know, he was supposed to, you know, wrestle Craig and that was going to bring some eyes and then lose that fight. And I know there's been some scramble to try to get who was going to step in. And I know that was kind of interesting and probably was hard to kind of help promote the show in the first place. But it is unique in the sense of how it's sort of team versus team, and you set your order and nobody knows what that order is going to be. So you might have your big giant heavyweight of a dude go in and he's fighting like DJ, you know, like it's very interesting. So there's going to be a lot of strategy and there's going to be a lot of like interesting things that I think people, you know, that it's just unique in that aspect. I think most people, you know, assume that dudes are going to be grappling with dudes in their weight class that they, you know, they all weighed in. And, you know, so it definitely puts a little bit more of that entertainment factor in there that should get a spotlight. So it's going to be interesting. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to see what it's going to look like. And, you know, if there's, you know, a lot of times people, I think, are just put off by grappling or jiu-jitsu because they think it's, it's just going to be one guy on top of another guy and they're going to be fighting for a thing and we might not even get a submission. All we're going to get is maybe a point at the end in overtime, and some people aren't really drawn to it by, So by adding some of these little extra wrinkles into it, you know, it adds some more, you know, something to get invested in, you know, and to kind of just really intrigue you. So it's cool. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, but yeah, he is an interesting cat, and should be fun. I'm interested to see how it works out, and something different for a Sunday, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. They also got the $100,000 women's bracket as well, so obviously a lucrative women's tournament as well.
Yeah, they're making money, man. It's good. You know, just like we always talk about how other opportunities for fighters. I mean, this is incredible for grapplers. You know, I think that what the UFC is being able to do with their whole, you know, thing that they've getting going, and then, you know, with Eddie Bravo's got his invitationals and all this other stuff. I mean, people are making good money out there for what used to be something that maybe wasn't a lot of money at one point.
Yep.
You know, and it was just about having the notoriety of saying that you competed and you won at these tournaments, and now people can go out and they're making life-changing money. They're making, like, career money, you know.
Yep.
Like, you know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, for a lot of years, the money for these athletes was really, like, in the seminars and the teaching and that sort of stuff, and now you can get it in the competition itself, and so that's a good thing. And, you know, I know that maybe there's some, you know, some hesitation for some people with the UFC's involvement, but I do believe – you know, I do believe the UFC will help, and hopefully, you know, all these organizations that are out there. It's grappling is fragmented right there, right now. It just really is. And if they can all get on the same page, it can, you know, help benefit the sport as a whole. So we'll see how it all plays out. But nonetheless, I know you'll have a lot of fun. I know that I got to go hang out with the wife and kid a little bit since they're in town. We're going to enjoy these last few hours of free time with them. Then after that, it's weigh-ins tomorrow, official weigh-ins, ceremonial weigh-ins, the fights, all that good stuff. I'm going to try to squeeze in some time with them as well. But tonight, going to go enjoy a little time on the beach and go have some
nice
dinner. So we'll cut this one a little bit short, but obviously we weren't going to miss anything. Obviously, it's an off week for the UFC as well, so it's probably a good week for us to run a little short. Make sure everybody, please, to check out CFSC this weekend. As I said, myself, Dean Thomas, Morgan Worth, be on UFC Fight Pass and OnlyFans.com/CFSCMMA. We appreciate everybody who supports us over at Patreon.com. There will be no and a half this week with no UFC event, but we will return next week. And, of course, Cole Carf and I will be back together next week in Las Vegas to break down everything that's happening in the world of mixed martial arts, maybe see what's happening with this Roger Jackson situation. I think I saw MMA Junkie Radio is going to be is going to have an interview with Roger Jackson. I believe I saw
Shut up. I don't think I even saw that.
I think I saw a tease for it right before we sat down to record. I don't know if I – as an if I'm not an attorney, but I don't know that an attorney would be telling Roger to go do an interview right now, but maybe pay attention to that if I saw that preview correctly. Anyway, we'll talk about it next week. In the meantime, thanks for listening.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.